Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization. Tonight's topic, why do good girls like bad boys? There is a saying that nice guys finish last. It implies that bad guys finish first. Are bad guys more attractive to females? Are good girls more attracted to bad guys? For the record, the bad boy we are discussing is the bad boy from the neighborhood. It is not a question of why do women stay in abusive relationships, but why do they choose to be in a relationship with a thug or a thuggish person, that not so good person who tests boundaries and take risks, that rebel without a cause? Is it because there is an abundance of bad boys and being in a relationship with a bad boy is the norm, commonplace? Maybe they're not that bad, or at least they're not that bad when they're with that particular female. Is it because anti-life behavior has become attractive, exciting, acceptable? Are bad boys a version of the alpha male? Is it because there is an abundance of bad boys and that's what you're used to, or all you feel that is available? Maybe it just happens, and you know what they say, you can't help who you love. Are so-called good guys unattractive because they don't appear to be alphas? Maybe not so outgoing or aggressive. They dress different. Not stylish, you know, you're not cool. Maybe no tattoos, maybe no piercings, no high-risk adventures, and they're perceived as weak, corny, or boring. Are so-called good guys unattractive because they're not aggressive? Or participating in at-risk behavior? Are they? Have our admiration, fascination, and romance with violent characters or bad boys been reinforced and assimilated the attraction into our romance with real-life violent characters or bad boys, or vice versa, or both, who knows, you know? But are women aren't the only ones who are drawn to the bad boy personas. Males are also. So this whole thing about being a bad boy appears to be an attractive persona. Has the media's portrayal of these aggressive, violent, borderline criminal or criminal personalities glamorized, sensationalized, and normalized the behavior at any degree? Do women get a rush out of being in these relationships? You know, kind of like driving a car real fast. There was a time in film when the bad guy or villain was the bad guy or antagonist or the villain in the movie. Somewhere along the line, he became the hero, the guy you root for. You know what I'm saying? Like the Dirty Dozen. Those were a bunch of bad guys. The Wild Bunch, those guys were criminals, Western criminals. The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, is Clint Eastwood cowboy movies. Everybody was a bad guy. But Clint Eastwood's character was the character that you root for, but they all were killers. The Godfather, I mean, hey, didn't anybody root for Al Pacino? Scarface. Hey, they got T-shirts. He made that, and even though Scarface used to be referred to, I think, Al Capone, Al Pacino's movie Scarface made that a more famous name. It had T-shirts with just Scarface on it, and you had rappers taking on the name Scarface. Another movie had a movie about a guy with a hitman, bald-head guy, Timothy Oliphant played this white killer. with a barcode on the back of his head. Then you have Menace to Society. You have shows you different levels of bad guys. You know, you had Lorenz Tate. He was young and overt and excessively violent, right? And he had very little. He appeared to have very little respect for human life. And depending on what situation he was in, he showed that. Then you had the other guy that was walking with him. I forget his name. The star of the show, he was at a different level of a bad guy. You know, he would rob and steal and stuff like that, but he wasn't quite the killer that Lorenz Tate character was. I forget the name of his character. He had the Fast and the Furious. These guys are thieves, but they are, you root for them through the whole movie. Right? And I think the first Fast and the Furious, one guy's trying to actually bust him. He's a cop in the beginning. What's his name? Brian something. He's a police officer trying to bust the Fast and the Furious. Vin Diesel and his gang. So anyway, goes on. You know, see, I'm just showing you examples of how the things have been flipped in media, and maybe things have flipped in the community also in terms of who you root for. And who you think is bad and what you're attracted to and things like that. And I'm not trying to blame Hollywood for anything. It's just a reference. Okay? So anyway, they definitely sell a lot of movies, even if they are the antagonist and are destroyed in the end. Bad guys sell movies. You got a good bad guy in a movie, it's going to sell your movie. Because that makes the good guy look even better. There is an actual movie called Bad Boys. That's Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, right? They are the good guys were the bad boys figuratively, but they had some characteristics of the bad boy, the traditional bad boys. They weren't angels, as you say. They were police officers assumed to be good guys. But they had some characteristics of bad boys also. So, you know, questions, you know, to be asked. I have a lot of them myself, which I have added to this monologue. Do bad boys have a magnetic or hypnotic air about them? You know what I'm saying? Or do bad boys appeal to a woman's nurturing nature? Do some women see or experience the good in a bad boy? Does that make it all worth it? You know that this guy is out of control everywhere but with you, and you know that he has a high respect for you, and whatever he does other places that's not good, he never disrespects you. Are some bad boys just misunderstood? You know, is being bad simply a function of what they do and not who they are inside? Yes. Some bad boys survive their decisions and high-risk lifestyle and become better, if not good guys. There can be a nightmare of experiences between the being a bad boy and being reformed. Those experiences might have an impact on the relationship or your life, depending on which bad boy you are interacting with and which bad boys he is interacting with. Because you don't have control over these situations. Anyway, we're going to take a look at some of the traits of what they call dark personalities that can be found in bad boys. These guys are really bad. These guys I'm about to mention to you. These are the really bad guys, the Hannibal Lecter type cats. And before I go into that, I just want to apologize again for my to my listening audience. Last week we had some technological knowledgeable difficulties. We weren't on, and I apologize for not being there for you guys. So we're back, and I hope that you guys are back. Haven't forgot about me in a week. Anyway, from Why Do Good Girls Like Bad Boys, Psychology Today. All right. And let's say this is Benita Mehta, PhD, EDM. All right. So I think she got a PhD in educational, is that medicine or something like that? Anyway, they talk about a study by a guy named Gregory Lewis Carter of the University of Durham, right? And they came up with this, in the research, they have revealed that there are more men than women that possess this thing called the dark triad personality traits. One of them is, I think we heard of all three of these things, narcissism, then they have psychopathy, and Machiavellianism, which I thought was very interesting. But it's when you look at the definition of it, it fits. It's something like narcissism. Anyway, they said the hallmarks of narcissism include dominance, a sense of entitlement, and a grandiose self-view. Studies overwhelmingly show that narcissism is greater in men and cultures. And so, so they said narcissism, by definition, is excessive interest in or admiration of oneself and one's physical appearance. Psychopathy is a mental illness or disorder. Machiavellianism. Now, I think Tupac made a reference to this here in one of his raps or something. From the Harper Therapy Counseling blog, said psychologically refers to a personality trait which seen in a person is so focused on their own interests. That's like a narcissist, self-interested, and things like that, right? Vocabulary.com says Machiavellian is a sneaky, cunning, and he's lacking a moral code. He has an attitude of the ends justifies the means. I can do whatever I want to do as long as I feed my family, or as long as I'm a provider, I'm successful at the end and doing the things that I need done. So that might mean I might need to exterminate these group of people out here so that my people can survive. You know, things like that. That kind of an attitude. All right? So politicians are powerful people who can be influenced by powerful people. Surely, this is from Provocative Thought. Surely, a woman desires to be in the care of a provider. That would make those guys on Capitol Hill, they might perceive as chumps, alphas. They may be corrupt, but they usually don't have the flair, right? So you can have guys, bad guys, that are perceived as chumps to certain people because they don't have the flair, but they are doing things that are impacting on people's lives that are negative. You understand what I'm saying? In terms of a politician, I use them as an example, a corrupt politician being influenced by an interest group or a person who has wealth or maybe who has something to blackmail them with or something like that. Who knows, right? So anyway, let's say it's believed that narcissism may advance short-term mating in men, which is very important. That's very interesting right there. Narcissism may advance short. That means, it involves a willingness and ability to compete with one's own sex and to repel mates shortly. So a narcissist basically is that could be male or female, but they say it's more common in men. And there's a person that's just going to hook up with a chick, bam, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's he has no connection to her. So they say narcissists are adept at beginning new relationships and identifying multiple mating opportunities. They are also less monogamous. So a narcissist is a sexual predator. Because he's only his self, and she's not in it for you, even though it may seem like it, at night or at dinner and whatever it is. The whole thing is about him. So psychopathy is comprised of callousness, a lack of empathy, and antisocial erratic behavior. That's like a psychopath. Psychopaths have also been found to exhibit superficial charm, and deceit, and a sexually exploitative interpersonal stance. It's like sex is kind of heavy in this whole thing with a bad boy. Sex all over here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that because that's a sexual theme, and sex is a constant theme in nature, even for humans. Machiavellianism is comprised of insincerity and extroversion. So these things are very relative because they basically are insensitive to the needs of other people. So these are really dark people right here. These people are talking about. Research has established that dark triads demonstrate more sexual success by comparison than their peers. These guys are more sexually, successful if you want to look at it numerically in terms of how many people and being successful and hooking up with somebody sexually. They say they're more successful. The researchers wonder whether women would find these men more attractive. Okay. So, sexual energy is a prominent theme in heterosexual interaction, right? This is from Provocative Thought and relationships. They just happen to be prominent traits in narcissistic, psychopaths, and Machiavellian individuals. You know, that's scary. Everyone, for the most part, has sexual energy. They said they didn't went into this whole thing about this. The dark triads, and they name out the attributes: desire for attention, admiration, favors, prestige, manipulation, exploitation, deceit, flattery, and others. Lack of remorse, morality concerns, and sensitivity and cynicism. So, I mean, some of those traits are things that people want: attention, admiration, favors, and prestige. You know, so. Anyway, dark personalities have favorable or attractive traits, and that's why they're so successful. Anyway, so Carter just went on. They did a little test and found that women found the dark triad personality more attractive, and the result is in keeping with previous studies in which men with dark traits reported their increased level of sexual success. So that's the bad boy, right? Bad boy traits. And through this study, and the people that they did the study with and kind of came in contact with, these guys saying that they were more successful sexually, and the women are finding them more attractive. So that kind of, those two things kind of support each other in terms of these bad boy traits. Anyway, he said the first sexual selection might be at work. This means that women are responding to signals of male quality when it comes to reproduction. And short-term, and with respect to short-term mating, women may be drawn to bad boys who demonstrate confidence, stubbornness, and risk-taking tendency. So that's the answer to one of the questions, or something that supports an answer to a question. I hope that I get some calls from some females to kind of like clear this, give us some clarity, validation to some of the report that this Mr. I'm not doubting this guy's research or anything like that, but I would like to hear from a female about how they feel about this year. Are females, attracted to bad boys? And it seems like, at least in this society, we are attracted to, you know, rogues and things like that. They amuse us, and, you know, they definitely get us to sit down in front of the big screen, little screen, or however you're watching it, you know. It said men with dark traits may be effective charmers and manipulators, furthering their success at short-term mating. So seems like bad guys get a lot of sex, basically. And women are rated the characters as comparatively more attractive. It does not necessarily mean that they would have sex with them. So they just find them attractive, okay? But if somebody's attracted to you, that's a step. That's a better step toward having sex with them than them not being attracted to you, okay? So anyway, so that's what Mr. Carter came up with his in his, you know, study. But I thought that was interesting, you know, because, you know, that's very harsh. Psychopaths, narcissism is, I don't know if you know it, is a very, very serious disposition to have. It's very hard to have meaningful relationships if you are a narcissist. And I guess they have the ability to look, to appear, to care, you know, but it's not what it appears to be, because it's there to serve the purpose of that individual in that relationship. But I'm just going to take it back to the conversation. They said the attractiveness and the power of the narcissist. And so narcissistic people are attractive, and apparently they must not be able to keep that persona going. People who show high levels of self-importance, superiority, entitlement, arrogance, and willingness to exploit others. Now, if you're on the street, you gotta kind of, you know, do some of that, you know, because, you know, you saying, I get on the street, and people say, I control this area. In order for you to think that you're in control of an area, you have to have a sense of entitlement, superiority, self-importance, and high levels of self-importance, and willingness to exploit others. Because you, in order to control that area, you will have to do certain things to show that you are in control. Right? They said female narcissists tend to wear more makeup and show more cleavage than women who score lower on narcissism, whereas male narcissists spend more time building up their muscles. So narcissists like attention. The more you do to get attention, the more narcissistic you are. That's what they're saying. And in very short term, narcissists can be seem more well adjusted. That means at first they seem okay. But as time goes on, the real person and the real motive will reveal itself. Anyway, not trying to be too deep here, but I thought that was interesting because I didn't even think that there was a science behind that. Why do good girls like bad boys? But apparently these guys are in, you know, the mental health field of psychology, psychiatry and psychology have been looking at this for some time. So anyway, there is a point there. So basically, not all bad boys are narcissists, psychopaths, or Machiavellian. Truth be told, no woman wants to be with a narcissist, psychopath, or Machiavellian. I just read the definition. You know, I'm sure no woman would choose to be with a person like that, or a guy would choose to be with somebody like that. Maybe they do have their moments. What about the bad boy from the street, though? The thug, the hustler, the gangster, and the guy who is a little rough around the edges. Guys like Fruity Loops and Frog from the 21st Street Gang in the movie Colors. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was a movie Colors about Crips and Bloods, and it was a gang called 21st Street. Had a guy, Frog, he was like one of the runners. And Fruity Loops, they were the leaders of this gang called 21st Street Gang, you know. And, you know, you see the gang, they had girls and stuff like that. And, you know, but, you know, what about guys like that? I mean, these are, you know, fictitious characters, but, I mean, I'm just asking a question. What about guys like Eazy-E? He's a real character. You know, he was a hustler. What about guys like Tupac, you know, or Bumpsy Johnson, Frank Lucas, Gotti, and more. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what about guys like that? Why do women choose to be with guys like that? Yeah, they kind of, these guys kind of had a kind of dangerous lives. These characters, Fruity Loops, and, well, gang members have a dangerous life, but that's without a doubt. That gang member is here, and he, no guarantee how long he's going to be on the street or living, right? Eazy-E, he was a hustler. Tupac, well, we've seen what happened to him, right? Bumpy Johnson, you know, which people have a lot of respect for. Even him being a gangster, he, well, I read about him. There was a lot of people that liked that guy. What about those guys who get into a little bit of trouble and those guys that are really big trouble? Understand? Because you have, like I'm saying, in terms of being a rebel or being a so-called bad boy, there's levels to that, you know. It's not like, oh, he's a bad boy and, you know, this bad boy is dangerous as this bad boy. It's not that way. It's levels to being a bad boy. And I think there might even be just conditions and situations that might lead people to do certain things, you know what I'm saying? And then you have some people who live for, you know, those extreme situations, you know, like I was saying, like the guy, character like that guy, Old Dog, in Menace to Society. That was Lorenz Tate character, young boy. He wasn't even 18, and he killed he went to the buy beer, which he shouldn't be buying, from the Korean store, and they shot the Korean guy, and then they was watching it on tape, you know, and, you know, he had no remorse for what he had did. Where the other character, Tyrin, forget his name, he appeared to be concerned about all of that situation, even the actual killing and the fact that these guys just watching their thing on tape like that. So that's the difference. You know, you have different levels to that kind of thing, you know, so. Some guys are willing to do some things, some guys are not. So you may have a psychopath, and you may not. You just may have a guy who's doing some things that he feels he needs to do to get what he wants. That's the end. The means justifies the ends. But he would still be a bad boy, right, in the sense of, you know, not doing the right thing and going against the grain and things like that and being at risk. So, I just wonder, you know, what is the deal with the attraction, a woman's attraction to a bad boy? Or is there such thing, or do they just find out, oh my God, he's into this, he's into that, but it's too late now, I'm into him. You know, does it work that way? And I can see it working that way a lot of the time, and I can see it working, or I can see it why a woman would be attracted to a bad guy, because a bad guy is what he does, it's what he's doing, and is not doesn't determine, you know, it doesn't make him unattractive to some people because it's not like a gangbanger or something like that. That might be unattractive to some people, but there's somebody else, they might like that guy because he's tough, he's courageous, you know what I'm saying? He, you know, he got on a nice little, wearing his clothes a certain way, attractive, like, you know, you might be attracted to the way they dress. I know in the 60s, the gangbangers used to wear blah knits, silken wools, and they used to be dressed nice sometimes. And a lot of times they had on the khaki pants, the white t-shirt, pants rolled up and the left hooks and, you know, things like that. But even at that, they had a certain flair about wearing it, you know, so a certain way they walk. You know, I've seen the Fat Albert Gang, they kind of show the guys had a little walk. They just don't walk straight. They had a little thing with them, little, you know, what they call swag and stuff like that. So we're like straight guys, you know, they might not have that flair. So, and they might not be putting that much into how they look. And there might be some straight guys that do put a lot into how they look. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm not just trying to draw a line here between good and bad, you know, because I think that line at some point it gets to be blurred between who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. But let me see. got a lot of stuff here to talk about. This why do good girls like bad guys? But I don't want to dictate why they do. I'm just sharing information that other people have been sharing. So from Madame Menor, she says but she says she's never been attracted to a bad boy type. But she says she can appreciate their alpha dog appeal. Now, alpha, I'm going to use wolves as an example. And wolves, and the alpha male is the one that can mate. He's the one that's going to say that. See the sexual connotation, a connection with this whole thing about being an alpha and bad boys having a quote, alpha persona kind of like thing. Whether they are alpha or not, they have a persona that they're alpha. You know, they appear to be alpha. They act alphaish. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying they do or they are or they aren't, but they have that alpha dog appeal. And this woman said that she can appreciate that, right? She said let me preface this post by saying I have a bias against thug dudes. She has a bias against them, but she can appreciate their alpha dog appeal. You know, so that's very interesting. That's somebody saying, "Hey, I don't date thugs, but I can see why, you know, why people find them appealing." And this is a female. She said other women, however, may like a man with some street edge. She says she gets it. Most women are attracted to men who seem like they can handle themselves, who can handle and who can handle them too. She can't walk over them. Whether it's in the form of a physical protection or sexual prowess. There's that sexual thing right there, right? Alpha males are what in a wolf pack? They got mating privileges first. You know, I don't even know if the other male wolves are allowed to mate. I don't know if it's the alpha male gets the first dibs or the only dibs, but look, he's a privileged character, you know, and that seems kind of narcissistic, even in a wolf pack. You know, there's four males in the pack, only one gets the mate. Come on, that sounds crazy. Anyway, she goes on to say, she thinks maybe if she was younger, you could have convinced her that street was hot in some kind of way. But she's a little older, and she says attraction and excitement were more important than, she said. But so maybe to a younger girl, woman, that a street guy is attractive. And this is 20-ish, she says. She said, maybe edge and thug are a bit different. She says, she thinks all men should be able to handle themselves and have some street smarts or common sense. Well, newsflash, all men can't fight. Sorry. Just because you're a man, some dudes out there that just don't have it in them to fight. They can't fight a lick. And there's some dudes that will fight, can't fight a lick. You know, they may try to defend you, but they just can't rumble. So, and I give him thumbs up for a guy that can't fight, that will fight. Don't get it twisted, you know. So, but there's some guys out there that's aggressive and they can't fight, and they will beat your man up right in front of you, you know. And I'm not saying that's right, but that's alpha-ish. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's very, you know, narcissistic. So, she goes on to say, she thinks that guys should have street smarts or common sense, not just hood dudes or self-proclaimed bad boys. You don't have to have a lot of muscles to be a real man. So she's not in for the, she doesn't go with the muscle thing. Being a bad boy shouldn't make you attractive or edgy. Yet she said she found a lot of women gravitate towards men who look more like felons than professors. That's interesting, you know, because the professor is a guy who, like I said, for all practical purposes, he has the financial stability and ability to care for you. You know, you might have to, you get in the rumble, you might have to help him out. And I don't see what's wrong with that, because he could be a dude that can fight. You still might have to help him out. You understand? So, you know, that whole concept of a guy that can handle himself, is like, well, there's a lot of people that can handle themselves. That don't mean they can't be overwhelmed. In the street, there's always somebody that can beat you. All right? You just look at boxing, and you can see that. You know, or just look at your life if you've been around that yet. Environment, a violent environment, you'll see there's always somebody. You could beat the guy one fight, and that you fight that same guy again, he beats you. So, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to win a fight. Depending on how a person is coming at you in a fight, whether or not you're going to win also, you know. So, anyway. But I understand that you want to be protected, you know. When I'm, you know, real, keeping it real. You and your man might have to get down and say somebody's beating up your man. You might have to get down a little bit. So just keeping it real, you know, whether he can fight or not. So anyway, she goes on to say he has to be a soldier. I know women who subconsciously test men's strength, leadership abilities, and overall dominance. See, you hear that? It's the survival of the fittest principle at its core. That's like that wolf pack thing, right? The strongest wolf, he's going to get to mate. We don't want a man we can walk over who can't stand up for himself because he can't stand up to us. So if you can't stand up to her, you can't stand up with, you know, for yourself. And it gets a little twisted right there because some guys just kind of like butter in a woman's hands, but they actually guys that kill you. You understand? They will hurt you kind of people, but. But she says she don't want a guy she can push over. Okay, so that's kind of risky. That's kind of risky right there for you to be pushing a guy, testing a guy like that, and then when he pushed back, now you got a problem with him pushing back. Or do women want guys to push them, or some women? Because I'm sure women don't want a guy to push them. And so how can he protect us? She said the alpha male, right? Again, she says she gets it. And I don't know. That's kind of risky behavior right there. And that's kind of encouraging guys to be aggressive. You know, that's like taking a dog and making him aggressive. You know what I'm saying? That's not a good thing to do, to try to make a guy aggressive. Aggression is a reaction to aggression. So you become aggressive. When somebody becomes aggressive to you, so you don't want to be training your man to be aggressive with you. You don't want to do that. That's not good. But we're going to keep going. She said, she goes on to talk about this thing about the, she read that even though a woman may logically know these types are bad choices, biologically and culturally, they've been bred through thousands of years of evolution to respond positively to dominant alpha male traits on a primal, unthinking level. So that means subconsciously, women are attracted to these alpha dominant males. Now, come on. Now, we got you got a whole neighborhood of males, right? And everybody trying to be the alpha wolf. You're going to have a lot of violence going on in that neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? So maybe that's why people, you see guys fighting over a girl sometimes, you know. Maybe that girl wants those guys to fight over her. And that's something that she is employing to happen. And maybe she wants the strongest guy. I don't know. That's weird. You know, because we're supposed to be mentally more mature than that, more complex than that. She said she thinks I think this is totally untrue because if we were using our right mind, as I just said, the beta male would seem way more attractive. So she's saying the beta male is more attractive. The guy that would avoid being alpha. Aggressive. The beta male is safe, responsible, and may not be physically dominating, but is intelligent and reliable. So if he's not a guy that's not physically strong, learns to use his brain more, right, and his intelligence more. That makes sense. The nerdy doctor is nowhere near as fine as Pookie. That's the boy from the hood that dressed good, look good, got a hot, nice haircut, knows how to talk, not afraid to talk to you, not afraid to approach you, right? So we overlook him that we may tame the drug dealer instead. So, and this is a female saying this, so maybe some people, you know, this guy, the nerdy doctor, let's say nerds don't dress like hood guys. And let's just say they don't. That's very rare you see a nerd that looks like got his hat slightly cocked to the side, earring, you know, it's very rare you see a nerd just looking like he's from the hood. Like, you know, the hood. When you look at him, you say, oh, that guy from the hood right there, you can tell he's been exposed to some stuff. He's a risk taker. Your nerdy guy looks like he's taking no risks unless it's in a science lab. You understand what I'm saying? And actually saying that's a good dude right there, because look, he's not interested in going to jail. He's not interested in killing people. He's not putting himself in those high-risk predicaments, even though as long as you're on this planet, you could end up in a high-risk predicament where you have to act out violently towards somebody because they're acting violently towards you, threatening you, or your woman. So, I mean, your family or something like that. So, I mean, but nerdy guys probably I remember growing up, I never seen a nerdy guy running down the street ducking bullets or nothing like that. But I seen anybody else that was hanging out there, they had to run and duck. And I ain't saying they didn't throw no lead either, but that's not the point. My point is that, you know, nerdy guys do not volunteer for these type of situations, and they're using their brains. Nerd is just another word for a guy that's thinking. And intelligence, you know, a nerd is an intelligent guy, and he uses his brain. There's nothing wrong with using your brain, but seems that brawn, right, that alpha wolf-like type of persona is very valued. And what's up with that? Is that a primitive thing? From where did that come from? You know, are we stuck there? Are some people stuck there in that type of thinking? Some women. And does that help perpetuate aggression in the community? Because if what you're looking for is a guy that's aggressive, you know, that's your kind of dude, you know, that's a problem. Because I've seen guys that I used to know, used to play the violin. All of a sudden, they went from having a violin in their hand to having a knife and a gun. And probably use that knife and that gun way more than you play than they use that violin. You understand what I'm saying? So, is that something that, you know, women want? Do they? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we see it all over. You know, some of the characters in the movies, and we see it on the street. We see like. Guys with the money, guys that's making a lot of money, they got a lot of pretty girls. You know what I'm saying? So, that was going on. Is that how you get the girl? By being aggressive, narcissistic, Machiavellian-ic? Hope not. Being a psychopath, you know. But apparently psychopaths are very charming. I said, I mean, how else would they, you know, lure people? They have to be charming people, because it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, this woman says that she could see how people, you know, are attracted to the street guy, the thug guy, Pookie. And she, you know, I had a friend named Pookie, as a matter of fact. She could see how they could be attracted to them, you know. So I knew a young lady, she said, in fact, it's my story. As she see, I was fresh off the streets of Philly, and she first saw me, and I'm not a scary-looking guy. I wasn't a big guy or anything like that. I wasn't muscular or anything. She said when she first saw me, she was afraid of me because of the way I dressed. And I had on a thug outfit, though. I had on the khakis, rolled up, left hooks, high top, the white socks, the white T-shirts, the bucket hat. And, you know, but to me, I was, you know, I'm just dressed. You know, that was just normal for me. But, you know, it turned out, you know, that I hooked up with her. That was my, she became my girlfriend later on. But I met her, I didn't have that outfit on. I had on dress clothes and I had my hair out. And but the time that she first time she saw me, she said she was afraid of me, you know. So there was that's an example of a female who wasn't attracted to that persona, that bad boy persona, you know. When I took my hair out, put on a nice shirt, slacks, some shoes, I looked more attractive to her. And so she went for that. And that's how that story goes. Anyway, that was a long time ago. But, you know, she wasn't attracted to the that alpha thing. So she also says that as grown women, they shouldn't want a man to be who can, they should want a man who can stimulate them mentally and not just physically. So apparently the alpha male is expected to be a sexually successful, experienced individual. You know, I guess if you you hunting somebody down sexually, you should or must be able to perform sexually. So you know, that kind of makes sense. But you know, it says you should look for somebody who can stimulate you mentally and physically, and I think alpha males can do that. You know, that might be a fallacy that all an alpha male can do is satisfy you physically, because not all bad boys are have these. They may have some of these traits, but they are not a psychopath or Machiavellians or narcissists. They may have some of those traits, though. You understand? So I think that there are a lot of intelligent thugs out there. Because being bad just is what you do, and it doesn't mean that you are not mentally intelligent. There's a lot of people. I had a friend that was reading a book when we was on the street, and I used to say to him, "Why are you reading a book?" You know what I'm saying? Because we was thugs. He was reading a book called Subliminal Seduction, and he was just 15. And that was at a time when a book was like a cross to me. But, you know, some of these guys that you think are thugs are very, very intelligent people. That's the point I'm trying to make here. They are very articulate and things like that. So they have traits, some of those traits, of those dark traits. But some of those dark traits are some of the traits you look for in people, period. If you're looking for, you know, they just, you know, have another side to them where, you know, they're on the street doing their thing, whatever that thing might be. So she said, who could probably walk into a bank armed with a good credit score, right? Look for that guy. Then the guy that's walking in there with the AK trying to take the money from the bank, say. Well, that's safety, right? Because like I'm saying, like, you know, like success, economic success is a sense of power also. And to me, that's alpha-ish to me. You know, even if you, whether you can fight or not, if you've been economically successful in this society, in this economic society, that puts you, makes you an alpha. Now, whether you have that alpha personality is another thing, you understand? But, you are at least in the where you talk about being a provider. You are an alpha if you've been alpha, if you've been economically successful. So this whole thing about being narcissistic and this psychopathy and Machiavellianism is a little scary when you apply that to bad boys, and I think that's extreme personally. Because all bad boys don't, you know, have some of these traits, but they're all not, especially this, like being a psychopath. I don't think that's just That's very, you know what a psychopath is. That's like, I say Michael Myers is a sociopath. A psychopath. Who was a psychopath in the movies? I'm trying to get a, think of a person that was a psychopath. Anyway, I think he knows he's doing wrong. A psychopath. That's the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath. Psychopath, he knows he's doing wrong, but, you know, he doesn't care about that. With a sociopath, he has no connection to the harm he's causing people. That's the difference between the two. I think I'm right. Anybody from the mental health community thinks that that's not right, call in and correct me. I think it goes like that anyway. From Date Mix, they said research. They said research found that men who have vain and somewhat psychopathic tendencies usually get more dates than the average male. Wondering what's up with that. You hear that? That's interesting, you know. Because psychopathic tendencies, as I read you, are part of those dark traits. That's what we're talking about. Not saying that you're a person that kills people and things like that. They're saying some of the, they're talking about traits. So don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to tell you that a person, a bad boy is a psychopath, anything like that. Even though we have some bad boys out there who appear to be psychopaths in terms of all the killing that they do. Because we have some guys out there that kill, like the guy Old Dog, and he seems to be a psychopath to me. And he might even be sociopathic, but he you could tell he has feelings because he changes in certain environments. Like his behavior changed when he went to his friend's house. He was more humble and things like that. And you know, but he also didn't have any sympathy. And I noticed in the movie, he didn't have a girlfriend, and he's 17 years old. So that was interesting. I wonder if they were trying to show that about him, that his behavior, his psychopathy led him, or did not lead him to have a relationship with female or even a connection. You know, because it seemed like he didn't talk to a female through the whole movie. But that's just a movie. I'm going to keep it moving. I don't know if that guy was after a real character or not. But I thought that was very interesting that whatever he was, it wasn't attractive. He didn't have that attractive personality. Anyway, they found that people with so-called dark personality traits, such as narcissism, again, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism, known as the dark triad, right? Those traits, people with those traits, are more physically attracted than others, which is interesting. You know, that kind of answers the question about are good girls are more attracted to bad guys, because apparently these people are attractive, period. And that explains our love for these type of characters in film and things like that, how they could become people that you root for. And like Scarface, he was a very bad guy, you know. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but you rooted for him. I don't know what Al Pacino's name in The Godfather was, but that character was a good guy that became an alpha. And he started off as a beta, and he ended up being an alpha because he came from a family of alphas. Anyway, so this is another study that says that they said people are physically more attractive than others who have these dark traits. And the three dark traits I said were narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. So that's kind of scary, but it's kind of, if you read what they are outside of some of the traits in the dark triad, you can kind of understand it. You know, it's not saying that you are totally a narcissist or a psychopath or anything like that. You know, it just says that, you know, that you're outgoing, aggressive, you are self-motivated, self-interested in things like that. So, I mean, because at some point you have to be interested in yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be interested in yourself to the point that you're harmful to somebody else. That's when that becomes a problem. So that's what they're talking about, these type of personalities. Like, I guess in a gang, like sometimes gang members walk down the street and they say another kid coming up the street, you got to get out of their way because it's about them. Even if it's one of them, you got to move. Or this guy is going to become aggressive towards you, like that, that kind of a thing. So, you understand they have you have a certain idea about who you are and how powerful you are with individual, but it should not impair another person's quality of life. And when it does that, that's when you have these type of problems. You know, so they're better at making themselves look physically appealing. I guess they put more time into it. So that could be a lot of people if you want to look at that trait. So if that's a dark trait, there's a lot of people on the internet who have, and females, that have these narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism traits. There's a lot of people. So maybe these traits are in all of us, and some of the traits are. It's depending on how we utilize them, you know, what impact it has on us and whether or not we would be termed as a bad boy or, you know, a rebel. I like to use the word rebel because these guys be like rebelling against everything. You know, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna break the law, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to get this girl, I'm going to get that girl, you know, I'm going to get this guy, I'm going to get that guy, you know, things like that. You know, I don't care what they say, kind of like attitude. I don't care about what is right or what is wrong, what is perceived to be right, what is perceived to be wrong, that type of attitude, you know. I'm going to get what I want for me at any means necessary. And that's not the way Malcolm X meant it. Because Malcolm X meant it to be, in my defense, for my survival, I will do whatever I need to do and protect myself by any means necessary from aggression. That's what he was talking about. These are not the same thing. Okay? So, why do good girls like bad boys? Secrets from the science of attraction. And then, you know, I didn't know they had a science with this year, you know. I thought it was very, very interesting. But when you look at it, you know, this dark triad, they talk about the dark triad again. This is from Brian Hogan. Brianna Hogan, 2017. She says, again, that they're more physically attractive than others. They are better at making themselves look physically appealing, which explains why it's definitely not a coincidence that bad boys have both amazing wardrobe and amazing hair. They work hard at it. So let me see who. I guess the Fonz is a good example of that kind of bad boy from Happy Days. He'd be on a bike, he'd have on a motorcycle jacket, the jeans rolled up, and he always combing his hair, always. That type of thing, because maybe that's what they're talking about. Because I don't see too many people combing their hair nowadays. You know, back in the 60s and the 70s, that hair thing was a big thing. And, you know, everybody had the fro and things like that. That meant something. You know, but that was about part of being black and being proud that you were black. So, proud on being happy to be nappy, as you said. I said, but bad boys work hard at you know, looking good. So, and good boys don't. I mean, what do good boys do? They don't comb their hair? I mean, what's the premise there? I mean, it's really. Additionally, they said that within the dark triad, they found they were found to be more likable and had more confident body language and more attractive facial expression. So that's a guy, that's a charming guy, right? So he's not afraid to approach a woman, right, or a situation. You know, and I guess, you know, that's the alpha male. Like I'm saying, you know, everybody appreciates the alpha male, a provider. You provide financially, you provide physical safety, emotional safety, you know. So it's going to be attractive. It's going to make you attractive. They said bad boys make a good first impression. I guess if you're into bad boys, I guess I'm going to visit. Like the one lady, she's, you know, bad boys is a no-no for her. So bad boy is not going to make a good first impression. I didn't make a first good impression on my girlfriend when I was a kid. Because first time she saw me, she didn't want to get near me. Because I looked like a bad boy. So to her, a bad boy was, you know, a bad boy. That's not a guy you want to be in around. She didn't even want to be around me. So anyway, but some people are inclined or attracted to this here. And they're saying it's a primitive trait that's been breeded into people, I guess culturally, handed down, subliminally, or traditionally, or both. I don't know. They said, according to research, they found that someone super hot, we tend to assume they're also smart, kind of confident, even if it isn't true. No wonder why bad boys are so irresistible. So I just, this is interesting because they think this person that is super hot, whatever your definition of hot is, because that is relative also. Because I've seen people with people that I wonder, you know, how they hook up. How that happened. But, you know, what is the whole thing about the being hot and being bad? You know, I guess it's a connection there with that bad boy being hot. I tend to think that he's smart and things like that. And he could be, because I'm telling you, I know a guy who was reading Subliminal Seduction, and he was about 15. Might have been younger than that reading that. I'm not even sure. But he was reading that book. So, you know, and I know a lot of guys from the street, very, very intelligent, book-wise and street-wise. So that would make a bad boy even more attractive. So it's starting to come together that bad boys are alpha males, and they are alpha in many ways. They can be intelligent. I don't know why you would think that a guy that's acting out is not intelligent, because there's a difference between being a foolish, right, and being intelligent, because there's a lot of intelligent people on different levels and different walks, classes of life that have foolish moments in their life where they don't make the best decision, right, or where they have moments where they're making at-risk decisions, like some guys I know. They're going to say that they're more fun. These guys are from motorcycle to daredevil trip. So that's like an amusement. They amuse women. Bad boys know how to have a good time. A number of women were attracted to bad boy types because they were considered captivating. So there's another answer to another question. Well, that supports another question, because I don't know the answer, but I think this. The answer depends on which female you ask this question to. That why women are attracted, because it's an individual question, and you can generalize that based on people you know. Like these people did through a study, and they had a 2016 study and found out, you know, the people just attracted to bad boys. They know how to have fun, so maybe fun. Maybe we live in a kind of a world that is too restrictive, and bad boys live outside of those boundaries, and therefore they are more fun than the good boys who are trying to live within a certain boundary of behavior and interaction with somebody. So, you know, always trying to do what's right, trying to make sure that they're polite and things like that. With a bad boy, is he might, you know, he might grab the girl by the waist first time he meets it. You know, he might grab him by the waist. Where the good boy, he's not going to do that. So, how you doing? He want to invite you out. Get your phone number. Talk. He's going to slow walk you. Where the bad boy, it might be smooth. It's like, you know, he's going to walk straight to you. Anyway, While they are selfish, rule-breaking, and imprudent, and rebellious, they are also brave. So I see bravery is another attribute that we give people medals and trophies for, right? Independent and self-reliant. Well, self-reliant, isn't that one of the attributes that another attribute that people are trying to achieve? Self-reliance. You know, you leave home, you get your own house, you get a job, right? You become self-reliant. So they live frantic, galvanizing lives. So researcher Fernando Gutierrez said he added that this behavior could function as a signal that subject has such good genetic quality and condition as to live dangerously without suffering harm. The study went on to say that traits include the dark triad, which I just talked about, and are not well being weeded out by the natural selection and actually may confer an evolutionary advantage. So they're saying that these guys with the have traits from the dark triad have an evolutionary advantage. That's kind of like saying that, you know, well, bad guys or guys with the traits, this dark trait, have an advantage over guys who don't have it. These guys are, you know, laid back, not alpha males, you know, just poking along, you know, and which, like I said, you find a lot of those guys that are not alpha males. You find them very successful and economically, you know what I'm saying? And you find some that not, you know, because everybody can't be successful. It's just not going to happen. But you find a lot of guys, a lot of egghead guys, they've made it financially. They just don't have that appeal. They don't have that rebellious kind of like James Dean, Denzel Washington, kind of like, you know, like they don't have that swag. They just don't have it. You know? I'm talking about Denzel in the movies. I don't know Denzel in real life, but in some of the movies he plays a guy that has some swag. You know, like Training Day, he was a very bad guy. So anyway, since they did for nice guys, with their reliability structured existence, just can't compete with them. Ain't that something? They said nice guys can't compete with the bad boys. So what did that do? Is that these guys having a study that says that, and what if people are seeing that themselves, that kind of encourages guys to be bad guys. And if they can't compete with that, like what is the frequency in that occurrence? You know what I'm saying? Like, how often is this message being relayed? Because that in itself might be an issue that we need to deal with in the community about our behavior. Because do we need more bad guys or do we need good guys? Who do you want running around in your community? You know what I'm saying? They say that you walk down the street, it's like 10 nerds standing on the corner. You feel safe? Or if it's 10 thugs standing on the corner, do you feel safe? Do you feel, there's a husband in that crowd over there somewhere? Or do you see 10 nerdy guys over there, guys talking about business deals they're trying to make, jobs they're trying to get, you know, things like that in the upper echelons of the job arena, you know, not, you know what I'm saying, somewhere in management, administration somewhere. Some tech jobs or something like that. What about, you know what I'm saying? Do you feel? You feel like it's a guy over there that's for you? Or no? Because he's corny. Look what he has on. You know, them guys look cool over there. So, what is it? So, people have been looking into this for some time. So, this might explain why we have some of the behaviors in the community with people acting out as being bad boys. You know, and we know bad boys don't really end up in some of the good places. It's very rare that bad boys end up in good places. Bad behavior, poor behavior does not warrant you a good or a happy ending. So there's a lot of trauma that comes with that, and mentally, physically, spiritually, trauma that comes with being a bad boy. If you've ever been out there, you know what I'm talking about, because you got some friends that's not here now. You know what I'm saying? You know, we go through that. Like, we shouldn't have to go through that, but we do. So, they said it's hormonal. So, this according to research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology back in 2012. Women in the week of ovulation, listen to this, delude themselves into thinking that the sexy bad boys will become devoted partners and better dads. Okay, you already established that being bad or having these traits are very sexually alluring to females. So on top of that, they said this situation right here, in the week of ovulation, they, you know, somewhere in their mind, they start thinking these guys are going to become devoted partners, better dads. I guess it depends on which level of these traits that a person has, if they're able to turn it around and become this guy. You know, because if he's a narcissist, oh, that's not going to happen. If it does happen, it's happening as a need that he has, or so forth like that. I said, this means that at a certain time of the month, women can't help but be attracted to the bad boy. Man, I just thought that was crazy right there. That's some research right there. You know, how did you even get to that? But they said, although bad boys find it relatively easy to begin new relationships, over time they find it difficult to maintain their mesmerizing impression. That's that narcissist, right? So you hook up with him, he's doing all right things, right? He might be opening doors for you, kiss on the lips, mwah! You know, give you a little hug and all that, and buying you stuggy flowers, oh, your birthday, got you a little something, took you out to eat. Then he's hard for him to keep that up, because that's not really what he's about. He's about that while he's doing that, but he's not about keeping that up. So, they said, in fact, they noted that to be selfish, cold, and arrogant, pretty much the opposite of who you thought they were. So that's who they are, they said, the bad boys. That sounds like a narcissist to me. Because it would take several weeks before your bad boy exposes his true self. Several weeks, that's like 2 months, they say. So anyway, that's all. Because people with dark personality traits are skilled at keeping their unpleasant side hidden. And let's just say that most people are. You know, like you just meet somebody, they're not gonna come to you with all their problems and showing you their, you know, but I said, people with these dark traits, I guess I would, if I had a dark trait, I'm gonna hide that. That's not gonna, you know, that's not gonna help me. I know it's not gonna help me, so I'm gonna hide it. So I'm gonna try to be as compatible as possible. Now, I'm assuming what's so odd about some of this stuff is that these are some of the things that you want to do, your person to do, this person does it. So anyway, so what's the deal? You know, so we are in this society attracted to the dark traits. And I'm not saying we like narcissists and psychopaths and things like that, but in a sense, we do. I mean, look at the movies. It said we are attracted to these personalities. You get all these movies with these narcissistic people, these psychopaths. Definitely have plenty of those psychopaths and sociopathic personalities, and they're making a lot of money in the movie. So, and on video, you know, it has these narcissistic personalities. These guys on video. Being very narcissistic. I don't give a F about you, you know, and F you, and I do this, and hey, You had a very, you know, I mean, how is this stuff attractive to, you know, to a female? Apparently it is. It's hormonal, they say, certain time of the month. It's just, these guys just had an alpha appeal, a strong male appeal. You know what I'm saying? So they're attracted to strong males. I understand that in terms of mating purposes. That's a theme throughout mating. And like I said, like, you know, the strongest wolf, he gets to mate. Same thing. That lion, I think it's only one lion to a pride. Like, it's one male lion, and he might have like 6-7 female lions or something like that. It's one dude, like, rocking like 6-7 female lions. Like, you know. So I kind of get some of that, you know, and like the strong, you know, they eat first because they're the strongest. I mean, like, who's going to stop them? I kind of get it, you know, and but why does it have to hurt people? You know, that's my thing. Why do you have to be, it's good to be alpha, you know, but does alpha have to be something that diminishes another person? And do good girls really like bad guys? Like, or do they like edgy guys? Is it, it's like, oh, not really bad, but a little edge on him, you know. They like a guy that's got a little edge. Like, you know, doesn't say, oh, how you doing? He says, what's up? That guy, he got a little edge, more of an edge. What's up, baby? You know, or, you know, instead of, how you doing today? You know, maybe she don't like that guy, you know, but maybe a guy that's got a little edge, you know, do a little cussing. Sometimes, you know, maybe a little fighting, I guess. I don't know. Stand up, you know. I don't know. But apparently there is some science that says that, hey, the women are attracted to these guys. They say good girls, emotional adrenaline, are good girls are emotional adrenaline junkies. Bad boys tend to be more adventurous and less predictable. So that's like I was talking about the amusement park ride. So they're there for the experience. And if you're a bad boy, you hang out with other bad boys, you can get the same effect from being with other bad boys. You're going to get experience. One you might not come home from sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You might end up somewhere else getting another experience. But you're right. If you hang around bad boys, you will get a hell of a ride sometimes. Also, they say he's a really great guy with a good heart. And I just kind of mentioned that, you know, like, he's not what you think he is. Some, you know, all bad guys are not heartless individuals like a narcissist or a psychopath or Machiavellian. He's really a great guy underneath all that bad boy exterior. Yes, I've seen that too. Because you don't really know a guy anyway. You just see what he does. You might only see the bad that he does. But you, till you sit down and talk to some people you don't know. Oh, my God, he's intelligent. Why are you out here? Why are you doing this? You know. So they think that they could change him. He'll change for them. He just hasn't met the right one worth changing for yet. And, you know, that does happen. I'm not going to say that that's a delusion. It's something you could wish for, and it's something that might happen in terms of a bad guy, some guys is out there. Yes, that's possible. They associate love with hurt, that the one that loves them the most or is supposed to love them the most hurts them the most. I kind of don't get that. I think that the one you love can hurt you the most, but they're not supposed to. You know, so I can understand that. Somebody you love can hurt you a lot. You know, if you love them, infidelity, that could hurt. I understand that. Or if they treat you bad, that could hurt also. Or if in terms of a bad boy, something happened to them, you're going to be very devastated, you know. It said 8 reasons on good girls fall for bad boys. Some of the stuff. This is from, I can't even say, Joan Jurkova. Djokovic. I'm just going to go to the, they want a project boy. Is that right? I don't know if I'm right or not. You know, I don't even know. This is this is information I'm sharing with you guys from different sources. They want a project boy. Many women see themselves as fixers. So they want to fix you up. They want to help you, love you to death, love you up. You know, they have the martyr syndrome. I don't know about it. That's crazy right there. Woman who has given all herself to help and fix our bad boy or to serving his mean, cheating, lying ways sees herself as helpless or trapped. She gains some psychological reward for being the victim. Yeesh. He reminds her of her dear old dad. Muscle was a thug, so you marry a thug. Well, I guess some women are looking for a father figure, and I guess if their dad was a thug, then that's what they're looking for, a high risk taker, rebellious type of rebel without a cause. Dude, and he's reminded of the dad, and of course they probably attracted to them because, like we said, the bad boy is very attractive in his habits and personality. But it goes back to saying, this time around, you're going to fix things and make your relationship right. So, I don't know, that's that Florence Nightingale syndrome, ain't it? You know, so I don't know. You know, a person once told me in a critical situation that all you can do is enjoy the time you have with somebody. That's it. When it's time to go, when it's over, it's over. That's like going on your other movies. You sit down, you enjoy the movie, the beginning, from the beginning to the end. And when it's over, you got to understand, it's time to leave the theater, time to get up out of there. You don't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of that theater. And the same thing, unfortunately, the same thing happens in a lot of relationships. You got to, you know, if you do go with a bad guy, if it don't go the way you wanted to go, and it's time to go, go. Movie's over, time to keep it moving. Fast and the Furious is over. All right, the movie off. Go lick your wounds or whatever it is you're going to do and move on. They're ostriches living with their head in the sand. That's another reason why they, good girls like bad boys. And you bury your hand, your head deep enough you can't see what's going on around you. So they're just ignoring what's happening, which doesn't make sense. And I'm running out of time. I only got 2 minutes left. They're afraid to be alone. They're just taking what they can get. Bad boy, not. They feel they don't deserve better. They're drama addicts. And they're talking about girls like to see guys fighting over them and things like that. Like to be around a whole lot of something that's going on. They woo you, then tear you down. They're the perfect boyfriend until they're not. Well, that's everybody, to tell you the truth. So, that's my story for the day, and I'm sticking to it. I don't know if I hit on points that are relevant, that are helpful to anybody. I hope I did, but it's very interesting that, you know, this alpha male kind of like thing, everybody, seems to possess.
Not be able to stay home, brother.
Good girls like bad guys.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Peace,
you will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.